Podcast. I am here with Reverend Fuego.
Hi.
Glenn Cannon.
Yeah.
I feel that.
That was I think I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
I feel that on a spiritual level. I'm Steve Miggs. Yeah. Or Steve Miggs.
Steve Miggs.
Hi, Steve Miggs.
Man.
You like, sound fine, dude.
I know. Like, honestly, if it wasn't that we hadn't taken off like a month from doing podcasts, I probably would have been like, boys, I don't think I could do a podcast. What the hell are you doing there? Phone?
Need oh, no.
Okay, it's fine. I would have probably been like, I just can't keep talking. I can't. So.
There's going to be a short one then.
Yeah, good talk.
See you guys later. Let's get to our voicemails, phone calls, and emails.
We got none. We're out.
Goodbye.
So on Friday, I wrestled at 3-2-1 Battle, and in the ongoing battle between my mouth and my wrestling, once again, my mouth wins or loses, depending on how you want to look at it, because I've been really good like for a long stretch where I haven't bit my tongue.
Oh.
So I get thrown up into a back body drop. I can probably find the video, but it's not. No need to. It's on Twitch.
It's an audio program.
Yeah.
All you hear is...
Right. Oh, ow, my tongue.
I should play a piece of audio that I thought was pretty funny of when the announcer, I thought he was doing a really good job of selling the drama. But so I take a back body drop, which is basically I'm going at the guy. He bends down and he flips me over him.
Yeah.
And I land on my back. Well, I also just recently got brand new wrestling boots from my wife for Christmas, like these nice custom ones. Like,
oh,
so I'm
awesome.
Pretty pumped. But they add extra weight because usually I was wearing wrestling shoes, which are a little bit different in weight. So I'm like, okay, I got to really give a little extra gusto. Well,
you give a little too much gusto, dude.
Yeah,
a little too much.
Instead of landing like flat, my feet hit first because I over-rotated.
Oh.
And then my butt hit.
Yeah.
And then my head snapped forward.
Ow.
And bit my mouth. And bit my tongue to the point where
you gotta keep your tongue back in the back of your skull. Dude.
Well, yeah. As I was going up, I must have been going like this. Oh no! So I just chomped down on it instantly. No, I'm like son of a bitch, and it's blood coming out of my mouth. And
oh,
hardcore.
Wow! You really got it.
Oh yeah, I was bleeding for the rest of it. Like it wasn't like gushing, but at first I put my hand on my mouth and I looked. I'm like, ah, damn it. Like, it's bad. So whenever I bite or cause any trauma to my mouth, they turn into canker sores.
Yeah.
So I have currently, I counted 10 canker sores on my tongue.
Nice. Oh, my
so
God.
Look,
Oh, that's gross.
I know. Yeah.
Ribbed for her pleasure.
Not mine. So
Steve's tongue's like a mile of rough road.
Gosh, right? I mean, yeah. I think they sell these things for ladies.
Lump of tongue.
They do.
Lump of tongue.
There's a thing, actually. There's an implement called the tongue. And it's awesome because it's sort of a wand. And then at the end of it, it's just a tongue. And then the tongue wiggles.
Glenn.
And about 2 years ago, I was having this conversation with Ryan Castle where he was talking about this orthodonter.
Orthodontist?
Yeah.
Well, orthodontist is the guy that is orthodontist.
Orthodontist.
What is it?
Proctologist.
No, that's the other hole. Oh. That's the output. But anyway, Ryan was having all this work done to his mushy mouth, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes on to explain. He's like, yeah, apparently I have, my tongue is too short. And he goes on this huge rant about this thing with his tongue being too short. And it causes
something about him.
Oh, dude, right? You guys didn't know that. You guys work with him. I figured you'd know this.
Tiny tongue.
But ever since then.
I wish I had a tiny tongue. I'd stop biting it.
I've wanted to buy one of those tongues and have it delivered to Castle's wife with a note that basically explains, like, from me, like, hey, you've been on my mind. Ryan explained to me that he has a short tongue, and I wanted to...
Wow.
And I haven't done it.
Yeah, you got to be 100% on that kind of a joke.
Yeah.
I think Castle would laugh.
But would Castle's wife laugh?
That's that, yeah.
Do I care?
I would. If she's not happy,
apparently
he's
Glenn
not
doesn't.
Happy.
Apparently Glenn doesn't.
All right.
Maybe I'll just give it to Ryan.
Yes.
You know, give it to Ryan and
send it to her. Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Bad ideas. By
well,
Glenn
all this might have been corrected because they were going to get in there and snip, you know, the little webs that hold your tongue to the bottom.
Yeah.
They were going to get in there and fix that for him because it was affecting like the roof of his mouth and his the alignment of his teeth. And it was this whole thing that he went through a couple years ago. You remember that?
Yeah.
It's like three years back.
I had always heard that that's what Gene Simmons did to get that super long tongue was that he snipped that little vinyl hair there. And then he could just, like, make the tongue go, yeah.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
I
don't know if that's an urban legend.
No. It's probably the same urban legend that told us about Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
Who was also Paul from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, I wonder at what point in his life, if it wasn't done surgically, did he realize, this is a cool tongue. I can market it.
Maybe before he got into Kiss, he was doing wrestling and he bit that baby real hard and it reconfigured the tongue. And now that he had a tongue,
elongated.
He's like, all I need now is some, you know, platform soles that shoot fire. And I got myself a gimmick and I'll go make, you know, $1 million.
And the new wrestling boots that I got are platform shoes that shoot fire.
You got platform soles that shoot fire?
I wish.
I just want to watch you eviscerate another wrestler by stomping, shooting fire, and watching the guy burn.
Yeah. But dude, with this,
like, that'd be kind of amazing.
Like, I recently changed my diet in the sense of I'm not eating a lot of bread, and I noticed that
you're eating more tongue.
Yeah, no, I am. But it's been like I haven't been getting canker sores since I've been doing that. Like, because I've been trying to find what is it that causes them for me. Because everyone is different. It could be acidic fruits.
Yeah, I thought it was like tomatoes and like oranges for you.
Yeah. And apparently it's also, it seems like bread, which is great because I love pretzels and I love bread.
Oh, yeah, right.
But so I've been good. Like, I haven't been getting canker sores, but if I bite my tongue, I get them. And now I got a crap tongue because like every piece of my tooth bit down on
this
tongue.
Are you using Camphophonique?
I'm using everything, man. I just ordered something on Amazon. I got this little thing of Listerine just to burn it numb for a second.
Oh.
It helps. I can't eat, can't talk, can't sleep because I'm in pain. And it's like I go home, my wife wants to have a conversation. I can't because I'm like mad because it hurts. And then the baby's there, and when she starts crying, it gets me more angry.
Hot little baby, don't say a word.
Yeah.
Make these coma by the mockingbird.
At one point, I actually just went, can you just stop? And my wife starts laughing. She's like, did you just ask the baby to stop crying? I'm like, yes.
How'd that work out?
It didn't.
Okay. Like, so wow.
Much like her teenage years, she's not going to listen to you.
No, I'm getting warmed up for that. And so... And then in the middle of the night, my mouth gets dry, and that hurts it even more. Oh, dude, I can't sleep. It's just life sucks. And life is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I have an awesome little kid that just I marvel at every day.
Yeah, I got to see the promo last night with
the wrestling promo? Oh, my God.
I got to see that last night.
That was fantastic.
The camera pans up, you know, the camera pans up real slow. I was like,
first thing when I showed it to the wife, because I saw it and I was like, that's amazing. She was like, first off, Lulu is so stoic.
Right.
Like, Lulu is probably the coolest dog I've ever seen.
Has there been a vibe change in Lulu since the arrival of the
Lulu is right by Tatum's side at all times.
That's beautiful.
Loves the kid.
He's going into defense mode.
Yeah. Oh, here's the promo that we're talking about.
Doesn't fall too far.
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Champions not only earn their greatness, but for the chosen ones, they are born into it.
And that shows Tatum with a belt.
Champion Steve Miggs returns to Without a Cause Wrestling in Everett on January 19th.
This Sunday.
Damn.
Funday. You can buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Sunday. Okay. Bloody Sunday.
At the end, he goes, baby Chan Tatum will not be appearing. Her mom won't allow it.
Like,
but I'll show you a picture of, like, my wife took a picture of, you know, they got those little, like, those big sheets that say, you're now 1 month old. You put, like, a circle over it. My wife just took one of those pictures.
I want one of those
sheets. Yeah, saw it on the old IG.
And there's Lulu right there at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Keeping tabs.
Yeah.
That's so adorable.
So you move the heart over the date?
Yeah.
It's like a Velcro heart?
I don't know.
See, Glenn,
I don't know if it's necessarily like, moving.
Glenn, if you're going to do that, like, you'd be way past the one.
Yeah.
Just like, that's a like, what's the math on that
I just
one?
Want a little blanket that can be altered at any given time. I don't know what I want in life.
Yeah, I showed this.
Bring me a blanket, man.
I need a blanket.
Make it stop, dude.
I showed this to Rev this morning, but I got busted. My wife took a picture. I was just, because she gets up in the middle of the night to feed Tatum. But then she also sees how I'm sleeping. And I woke up this morning to a text from my wife. Like, I woke up and the text was there. She didn't wake me up with it. And she took a picture of me asleep. Because this is how Lulu sleeps with me, and I had no idea.
Snuggle buddy.
Yeah.
She's like right up in me.
You're not alone. My wife does that all the time with Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
That cat and I will be curled up in a ball, and she will stealth photo me like left, right,
so
and center
cute.
With my cat, dude. Yeah.
See, my wife doesn't do that because most of the time, Carl will lay on my crotch. Like, he'll lay in between my legs and just right
yeah, you
there.
Yeah, you don't want pictures
like
of that.
Like, snuggle the pouch, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So that's not going to be a safe for work picture.
I call that
taking.
The valley. That's the magical valley. I call that the valley.
Hey, speaking of Tatum, Rev and I, we went with Danny V and Vicky yesterday to Trapper Sushi, the new one that's in Tequila at South Center.
Yeah.
And it rocks.
And we enjoyed the Tatum roll.
Oh, the Tatum roll.
Trapper, he texted me. He's like, hey, man, congratulations on having your kid. He's like, I want to make a roll named after your daughter.
Yeah. Nice.
And so, the roll of the month this month
is the
and
Tatum roll.
Apparently, it's going so well that it might become a permanent item on their menu. And it's really good.
Like, I got to go back and get a Tatum roll,
dude. For this month, yeah, it's actually I took a picture of it because I was like, it was funny though because like I was
it's
like
ridiculous.
It's really tasty. Got like a teriyaki drizzle, some Lucy sauce on it.
What's a Lucy sauce?
I don't know. It's like that white sauce.
Okay, okay.
Did you guys sit right up at the bar?
All you can eat.
Yeah, that's the Tawny and I went there for her birthday.
The best part
just
was
smashed sushi and told me to be rolled out.
There was a couple right next to me, and they're like talking about the Tatum roll. They're reading it, and it took everything in my power because I was like a proud dad, and I want to be like. It's named after my daughter.
So I was wondering if you're going to bring it up.
Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Picture and
I
didn't want to either. Going,
like, if I was in wrestling character mode, yes. Yeah. I'd be like, just so you know. But then they noticed that we ordered it. And the guy was like, hey, what's that roll you got there? I'm like, oh, it's the Tatum roll. He's like, can you get that on? Like, he looked annoyed. And he's like, can you get that on all you can eat? And I go, I don't know. I just ordered it and they gave it to me. And he looked pissed at me, like as if I insulted him. I'm like,
access to your role, dude.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, man. Why don't you ask them? Like, I'm getting the all-you-can-eat lunch, and I'm not going to, like, if they said no, I wouldn't be like, do you know that role is named after my daughter? You better give it to me. Because I've gone before, and we've gotten all-you-can-eat lunch, and I tried to get the STP role, which was named after me.
They're like, nah.
And the guy was like, no. And my buddy was like, dude, just tell him it's named after you. I'm like,
no. I respect the fact that you weren't like, do you know who I am?
Fresh,
you
right, know what I mean? Yeah. I can't believe it. I can't even get the role that's named after me.
Sorry,
sir,
it's
not on
the menu.
To no one in particular.
Right, I just say it out loud, hoping that everyone hears it.
Just like you, sir, it's not always available.
Yeah. I'm texting Trapper right now. As you see, I got his number. That place is so good.
It is
so
amazing. It's rocking.
The lunch is like $20 for all you can eat.
Worth every penny.
Oh God, yeah. I had four rolls and regrets afterwards. Not because of anything other than the fact that I was so full.
Yep.
I went home, I took a nap. Like 3 hours later, I woke up and I was like, I can't move out of bed. Like, I'm just laying
some
there.
Some kind of protein overload.
Like, three rolls is like the max for me.
I had four rolls, and I also had regret. I had regret that I didn't eat more rolls, but my mouth was hurting so much. And I got one of those tempura ones, and it was killing it. And
I didn't even realize.
I wanted to keep eating it, though. I got that, the Buddha, they have the Buddha roll, which
you're
is awesome.
Smearing some wasabi on the tip of your tongue there,
I did, actually, trying to numb it. Oh, that did not feel good.
People are like, what is that guy doing? He thinks a roll here was named after his daughter, too. That guy's weird as hell.
Is he snorting wasabi? This is strange.
He's smearing wasabi on his tongue, and he talks with a weird lisp. I got it's called the Buddhalicious. I didn't even know this roll existed.
Yeah.
It's the Buddha roll on steroids. It's so good. It's got cream cheese in it, too.
Mm-hmm. That's what Buddha would want.
No, I felt it was more along the lines of
steroids.
It's like the Beyonce of sushi rolls. So it's instead of the Buddhalicious, I just kept calling it the Bootylicious.
Bootylicious.
Yeah. It looked good.
Well, isn't today Feast of the Ass Day? It's a day to eat that Buddhalicious.
Would you like to explain that?
Yes. It's a day that in France, back in the medieval days, they celebrated to show love for all the donkeys that are in the Bible.
They call it the
Feast of the
Feast
Ass
of the
Day.
Ass Day.
Tickle the Balloon Night. Is there really a Feast of the Ass?
Yeah, it really is.
When I saw that on the list of, like, I always
Feast of the Ass.
Yeah.
It's nice of them to honor donkeys. Most people are like, call my stuff. You know, every once in a while, it's good to be like, thanks, pal.
Yeah, thanks for taking Jesus to Egypt.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, they did. Didn't they put down, like, palm leaves or something for the donkey to walk on? Donkey got it. Well, like, oh, this is cool. Well, that was coming into Bethlehem.
Yeah, I think that was
for a
Jesus.
Movie screening that they were going to. It's like a red carpet affair, but they don't have red carpet. So it's
sort of a green mushy affair.
Yeah, that's kind of like.
It was the green mushy.
Yeah, mushy.
Palm Sunday.
Palm, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Palm Sunday.
I forgot about Palm Sunday when you get like the actual palm leaves.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they gave us the little palms.
It's so weird when they did that.
You know, I would have rather had a donkey. I'd be like, cool, this is my new friend.
Yeah.
A burro. Yes,
here you go. Everyone gets a donkey.
Everyone gets a burro. I'll just be like, my yard, I'm never going to have to mow again.
So did you, on Ash Wednesday, would you go get the cross on your head with the ashes?
Well, no, see, we weren't Catholic. We were Episcopalian, which is sort of like the Kmart of Catholicism, mm-hmm. I think. You know, it's like a blue light special on forgiveness
is
of
that
sin.
An angry Catholic?
You know, no. Episcopalian was real loose. It was like, hey, man, you do bad stuff, maybe don't. All right, here, eat this bread. You know, like, it was pretty cool. It was
but it gives
chill.
Me canker sores. I can't eat the bread, sir.
I used to get it when I was a little kid, but that's why I asked about the camphophonique. Mm-hmm. It came in that little green bottle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was the 70s and early 80s, so it was probably just paint thinner.
Oh, that stuff.
Rebranded.
That stuff is gangster.
Yeah, mom used to put the camphophonique on me.
Gangster.
You know, man? It's like when you get stung by a wasp when you're a little kid and your grandmother would like slice the wound open and then pour iodine in it.
Yeah.
Dude, iodine. You know? Yeah.
Right? Well, what was that stuff when you had a sunburn? Did you ever get that? It was like a spray my mom would put on me and it would burn the sunburn. I'm like,
I've always just had aloe, so thank you, Grandma.
She's torturing me.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I can remember getting burned a couple times where I was like a snake and I was smelting and my mother would basically just peel layers of skin off. When I say layers, I don't mean like cute little nuggets. I mean like 1 foot by 8-inch sections of my back. Yeah,
she was making a new you.
Oh, dude, basically, yeah. Yeah, whatever this thing is, it's growing. Yeah, I mean, like, she would peel me.
See, I would just do that
my
myself.
Poor mother, right?
I would love doing that. Just
but I'd be so cooked.
Big old pieces.
I'd be like a quivering gelatinous mass, and my mom would just walk up and start peeling away, you know, to reveal her new son kind of thing.
Like, Glenn is part snake.
Yeah, dude.
Right? Molting.
Yeah, right?
If I do rabbits,
I'm in my pupae phase. I'm still in my pupae phase, actually. Yeah, soon all this is just going to crack open and something nice will emerge. But right now it's just sort of ugly and brown and it hangs on
ugly
trees.
And brown, come on.
I think like a coconut. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can crack them open. They smell like ladies lying in the sun. That song, I like coconuts. You can't crack them open. They smell like ladies lying in the sun.
What?
No.
You guys have never heard that?
Never. Do you even know who sings it?
No, but I'm picturing Tom Hanks just like on an island
coconut?
Trying to crack open a coconut so he can fap. You know, man?
I like coconuts.
I like coconuts. You can't crack them open. They smell
coconut
like ladies
by white...
lying in
Yeah.
The sun.
Coconut by Widespread Panic.
It's a real thing. Is that Widespread Panic?
Yes, it is. Yeah, you got the first three lines there.
Yeah, here we go. Picture Tom Hanks all starving to death.
Got the whistle. You know it's serious. You know?
It's a super hippie band.
Wilson. He's got Wilson facing the other direction, Wilson! So he doesn't have to watch don't what comes Wilson. After. Yeah, don't look at me.
Break them open. They smell like ladies lying in the sun.
I played the whistle on
this. All my buddies that were like big fish heads and deadheads love Widespread Panic.
Break them open, they'll smell like a lady's lying in the sun.
Or desperation.
Lift my hand my way. I give a coconut to everyone.
Is that he busting a coconut?
It's a coconut thing, dude. Plus, I think coconut milk, isn't it like a natural laxative? That's one of those weird,
coffee does it
one of the bummer things about, you know, being trapped on an island. You're living on coconuts and you've got Bria the whole time.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I think coconut milk is like a natural laxative.
That's why everyone's so skinny.
On the island?
It's crap it all
It might
out.
Be the lack of food,
wow.
too.
Wow.
What did Wilson...
Coconut milk also contains fermentable carbohydrates. These can cause digestive issues such as diarrhea or constipation in people with irritable bowels. I should stop eating coconut.
Widespread Panic didn't mention that in this song.
With a name like Widespread Panic, I think we now know what they meant.
Yeah, everyone's running to the bathroom.
They found the brown sound.
With fear in their eyes.
From their new record, I Got the Crass.
Yeah, I'm up and I'm at my laptop every morning. And this morning, here's another one for you. Where are you? Look up across 110th Street. This was my wake up music this morning.
Across
110th. Just do that. Across 110th. This is what I woke up to today. And then I went from this to the Talking Heads.
All right, here we go.
Really?
Oh yeah. It was perfect too. Pounding my coffee, I sat down on my laptop. Yeah, dude.
Ooh, funky.
This is what I woke up feeling this morning.
Well, yeah, this
like, man,
came out,
I need to hear this.
This came out in 72, so
yeah.
Shaft. That's all I can think of.
You guys just turned that into Flash Gordon.
I did.
Yeah, man, you know? This is what I needed. First thing out of the morning. Yeah, this is all kind of that Curtis Mayfield, you know, that vibe. Here we go.
I was the third brother of five.
doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto
was a hell of a fight.
Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to.
Did you seek this out, or did you just happen to be on?
No, I was
on?
Like, I woke up with this song in my head. I'm like, perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. Bobby Womack.
Across 110th Street.
Yeah, dude.
Jim's trying to catch a woman that's weak. Pushers won't let the junkie go free.
Killer breakdown coming.
Pushers won't let the junkie go free.
Do that trick.
Oh, it's a whore's on 110th Street.
You can find it all in the street.
Here we go. Yeah, man.
I love the chimes.
Oh, yeah, dude. So, like, all this stuff's, like, super lush, man. You get, like, that R&B soul funk groove going on, and they'll throw a string section behind it.
The best part is, like, it's, like, a soulful, like, kind of cool vibe song about hookers and coke, apparently.
Yeah.
Here we go. Throwing that coke.
It's all about Harlem.
Coke shooting that dope man you're copping out. Take my advice.
See, I lived on 108th Street. None of this happened.
I stumbled onto Womack.
Big Apple.
The film American Gangster had a bunch of his music in it. And I've always been a big Curtis Mayfield fan. And then stuff of that, like you find, like, I think there's a what are they called? The Repeaters? That whole channel on Spotify is dope.
Was that the Denzel movie?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I found Womack via that. I was like, man, this is killer. And went and pulled a bunch of that music, you know, the way you do these days. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to the store and be like, I saw this movie.
Then you should check out Godfather of Harlem. It's kind of stems from that.
Oh, yeah. No, Tony and I have been watching that.
Oh, we just started watching that.
It's excellent.
With Denzel Washington.
It's the story of Bumpy Johnson.
Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, Bumpy Johnson's the greatest name ever, especially if you have gonorrhea.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, that all takes place in 63, and I keep waiting for him to introduce the Frank Lucas character. Mm-hmm. So it follows Bumpy Johnson, Malcolm X.
Yep.
What was that senator's name?
But it's
been really cool.
It's a fight between the Italian gangsters and Bumpy Johnson and his crew about basically running the streets of Harlem.
Yeah.
It's really
heroin,
well done.
The heroin trade in the streets of Harlem.
Damn.
And it's got Vincent D'Onofrio in it. Is that the guy's name?
And Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker rules, man.
And he's just taking people out with that little knife.
The straight razor.
Yeah.
He's got an old school cutthroat razor.
Damn.
And he just hooks fools up with that razor.
And I mean, they don't even warn you. It's just like whoop, whoop, whoop.
Gone. Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. You should check it out, Rev. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. What is it called again?
Godfather of Harlem.
Godfather of Harlem.
It's on Epic.
No, Epics. If you go to Amazon, you can add the Epics subscription.
Ah, okay.
And that's how Tommy and I found it.
Yeah, we have some friends with that. So.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Do you get that with Amazon Prime? Do we know?
I don't know. We had to add the Epics subscription.
I just did that.
Ah, okay.
I'm doing the 1 month trial of Amazon Prime.
My one thing, though, with Godfather of Harlem is instead of featuring the music like we were just listening to, they've got like modern hip hop in there.
See, and I like that.
It bummed me out.
I was going to be bummed that they didn't.
I was like, man, stick with the vibe of the era.
How funny.
And instead they've got like modern hip hop. And I'm like, I mean, it's not all over the show. It doesn't ruin the show. But for me, it's like, I don't know, man. I was like, oh no, not some bad rapper.
See, like, I like bad rappers, so I'm a big fan of it.
Well, it's not that I don't like hip hop. It's not that I don't like rap. It's just that.
No, I get what you mean.
They've really nailed kind of the period of the early 60s, and they're capturing it all really well. And then suddenly you got this, yeah, kick with my money, and you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what the? No.
See, that's like.
No. It'd be like having, you know, Knights of the Round Table with Slayer as the soundtrack.
They did that. It's called
what?
A Knight's Tale, and it's fantastic.
I know. I own the movie, and it's a good time, but it's still kind of.
What are you saying?
I didn't like the soundtrack of that.
Come on, man.
I didn't dig that either, dude.
I own the
movie. I love the movie, and I hated the fact that they threw modern rock
in
there.
It's so funny because that was the one thing I noticed that I liked is the thing that you hated because I was like watching, I'm like, you know how I am. I'm not really a fan of watching movies that are based in like old times.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
So I'm watching this and I'm like
1963 was that
old
long.
Old times, man.
That's old times.
60 years ago, bro.
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, contemporary hip hop being added to this. I really like this vibe.
It doesn't
giving.
Detract from the show, but I kind of went, aw.
No, I can see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
But it's funny because for me, that was like a cool moment. I'm like, okay, they kind of kept it modern by adding that in.
Well, part of it might be just that I love a lot of that. You know, mid to late 60s R&B. Yeah, I actually love that
music. I was kind of wondering, because don't you watch Peaky Blinders?
No, I watched like two episodes. I was like, I'll check back in on this later, and I never returned.
Okay, well, they do the same thing. They have a lot of contemporary music, but it'll be sometimes framed differently or orchestrated differently. I don't know the words, only musicians and stuff, but
I think you nailed it.
Okay, perfect. Okay, cool. And so I was wondering, because I thought you did watch it, because they do that a lot, and I know some people would take them out, but I think it's fantastic. And they even put out, I saw when I went to the record store, they have like the television show soundtrack on vinyl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I almost picked it up.
There you go. I think I just...
Whoa!
I inhaled one of my own hairs.
Wow. Short and curly?
Thank you. Did you hear me retch, everyone? Did you get that?
Yeah. Well, I'm keeping that in, too.
Yeah. Senka.
Congratulations.
But, definitely keep that in. I don't even know where that hair came from. It might have been a chunk of lint, and there's a story regarding all that, too.
Oh.
But,
what?
Yeah, no. It doesn't detract from the show. I think really what it is I'm such a fan of that era of, I guess they would call it soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like love that music. And I'm like, huh,
well, yeah,
a TV show set in Harlem? This is going to rule.
If you woke up in the middle of the night with that in your brain, you have to be a fan of that.
Which is funny because like, I'm a fan of like some of the hip hop that they're using, like A$AP Rocky. I like Swiss Beats, 21 Savage. Like I like some of those artists. So for me, it's like, oh, cool. Like
it's
this
a
is
treat.
Different. Yeah, like here, like they here's like just this will give you an idea of what like, kind of music they're playing in the background on some of these.
Yeah, see, like 1963 Harlem, and the guy's like, I'm like, what?
They might have when they were pooping.
Like circle in a square hole, dude.
I don't know, I like that.
And shoot the out.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. Have to beat that.
Yeah, we're all there.
There we go, here.
Believe it, whatever we come for. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm not the one you run and run into.
Yeah, see, I do not care for this at all. And I like hip hop. I just do not. This is not connecting with me.
But then you see someone shaking someone with a straight razor.
Yeah, see, I'm like a fan of that kind of stuff.
That's
but
cool.
If you're not a fan of that stuff, I can see how it's like, bummer. It's not going to make the show suck.
Yeah, no, the show's incredible, but I was hoping to be basically just inundated with a style of music that I love.
You wanted to time travel fully. Yeah.
And I'm like, nice. And then they came to this modern hip hop, and I'm like, man, and that's part of the thing, too, is I don't even really like modern hip hop. Like most of the actual rap that I dig would be mid to late 80s through some of the early 90s. And then it changed gears and a lot of things changed and I didn't care for it anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of the whole, you know, I'm gonna get that money, like that whole thing drives me nuts. It's like, here's people that don't care about anything more than making money, and you're stupid enough to buy the record that's basically telling you that they're trying to just take your money. I have a problem with that on a core level, dude. Like, you know, Chuck D had something to say. These guys are like, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to drive my Mercedes. Yeah. And it's like, dude, what the? And these people are like, I love this guy. I'm like, he loves you too. He took your $13.99, moron.
Well, I mean, I'm streaming it, so I don't feel so bad.
Well, maybe I'm way off base. I don't know. There's stuff you connect with, stuff you don't, and I didn't. But anyway, doesn't ruin the show at all. I was honestly just hoping to get inundated with badass old school 60s era R&B and soul, which is actually music that I really dig. And when I didn't get it, I was like, aw. And then immediately I was like, well, this show rules. But, you know.
Well, I see, like A$AP Rocky, he sings about important things like LSD. This one's, I don't think Glenn's going to like this song.
No, look, right away, I love what I'm hearing. As soon as he starts grunting across it, I'm like, yeah. See, I still dig it.
Nice. So far, we got him.
Yeah, I dig it.
No one started singing yet.
This is what got me hooked on that A$AP Rocky, because it's so weird.
No, I'm digging this, the old square wave synths and stuff. Like, I love the production of this.
I know I dream about it all day.
Okay, I'm still in.
Nice.
Would it close off? I'm riding around with my system pumping LSD. ways to say I love you.
Yeah, I still dig this. But this is okay.
This got me hooked on songs. Him.
Baby, it's more fun when I disagree with something that Steve likes. This is pretty cool, man.
Is this a cool? It's like trippy as that.
Did you play me 21 Pilots or something and I had to slap myself?
The best part is like as he's singing and he says LSD, coming up, he just whispers and makes it very obvious. He goes, acid.
Love on the pretty lies of LSD.
For all you young kids that don't know what he's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
All right. He's about to curse, so. Oh, there he is. Damn it.
I was going to say, you damn pulled it out in time when I heard the mother. And I was like, what? Where did those Steve?
You were good, and then you did a bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't want to. Every song of his has an E on it. And it's not for ecstasy.
So the lint thing. The other day, I came home.
I just love that. It's so like unapologetic.
Ass, by the way,
I'm talking about acid, kid.
This song's about sex.
Talking about getting laid while on acid.
That, how does that work for you?
Drugs.
It goes on forever, yeah, and that doesn't, you'll get kind of lost.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine.
I had an experience like that fun. Lasted well into the dawn.
Way long. Dawn?
Yeah, like dawn? The sun came up. it was actually a moment of connection with Soundgarden's Super Unknown record, which, dating myself, I had in my dual cassette player, which had auto-reverse. That was cool because you didn't have to flip the tape.
Right.
And it must have auto-reversed 17 times.
It's, that's not a short album either.
I was tripping and getting my thing on, and
nothing
it went,
will go
and
there,
like the
man.
Sun came up, and finally, because I was only aware of thrusting, and then there was a feeling of moisture. But beyond that, I mean, I was really tripping balls, and so
acid.
If I remember, finally, I was like, "Do you want me to stop?" And she was like, "No." And I'm like, "Okay," because it had gone on for
Glenn Cannon, also known as
4 hours, 5 hours. Yeah, it wasn't tantric. Like I was counting pink elephants, man.
You were like, you were an autopilot staring at the wall.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Really tripping. And when, of course, when it was nighttime, like you get silhouettes of human body, but then there's just these lovely spiral patterns all around it.
Yeah,
because you know what's going on with my sight at the time.
And you'll never get there.
Yeah, no, I think I did eventually arrive, but it might have been, you know,
never.
Like
4 years later.
The sun was up at that point. Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's like the trip is over then, maybe.
My penis might have been like, this needs to stop. I'm going to have to take action.
Please, please stop. Oh, my God.
I remember playing music with someone. They're like, we should just both do acid when we play a show. And I'm like,
that's a terrible idea.
I was like, I don't even know if that's possible. Like that, I would just stare at my drumstick for probably the entire set, and I wouldn't be able to do anything. And I'm not opposed to doing things altered behind the kit, but that seems like a bad idea. Dude,
I tried to play softball on shrooms, did not work out.
That was hilarious.
I got dosed. I was doing a 3-set show, and my buddy gave me a beer, thank you, and then Bloom, and he's like, "Yeah, dude, I put a couple hits in there for you." And I'm like,
"Whoa,
dude,
you gotta tell me that ahead of time."
I'm like, "Man, I gotta play." He's like, "Yeah, it's gonna be awesome." And I'm like, "Dude, oh." And all I can say is set two and set three. Well, it really started kicking in halfway through set two. It was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was very aware of the way my strings felt under my fingertips. And I was very aware of the vibration of the strings.
How rubbery were your arms?
And it was just like, this is terrible, because I got to remember words, too.
Oh no.
I'm singing and playing, you know, I think I did another, I don't know, figure 25 songs after it kicked in. Like, I was peaking beginning of set three.
I don't even know what that would be. It'd be funny.
It was terrible.
Maybe like in a practice space would be funny because there's zero like pressure of people watching, and you're just with your buddies and you could giggle and you kind of like, let's just let it drone for like next 20, 30, 40 minutes. And but like to actually be responsible for playing
in front of a room full of people.
The show
was well attended, and you know, we were doing everything from like Tom Sawyer to we did Fade to Black by Metallica.
That's way too aggressive.
I mean, it was like, I got to sing this. I got to play these guitar solos. I got to do all this. And I'm tripping balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Meadows is like giving me the thumbs up. And I'm smiling at him thinking, they'll never find your body, dude. Like, why did you do this to
me?
His last name.
I'm trying to play.
Love you, pal.
Do you want to bleep it? Or?
You don't have to.
Okay.
He's in Maryland. And I didn't say his first name.
It's like trying to play a Metallica song in that state of mind. That seems like a terrible idea.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah, wow. That was back. That show was in Kaiser, West Virginia. And we were doing, we might have done one or two originals, but it was basically three sets of covers, average set length of 12 to 15 songs. And we did everything from like Pearl Jam and Alice and stuff like that to like Neil Young and Rush and Metallica.
Wow, I'd be like, let's just play a long Pink Floyd song.
We were a cover band where it was like multiple genres were tapped.
Oh, rock and roll.
And some of that stuff, like Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl, awesome, fun to play, not hard. Fade to Black on acid. Sucked.
Not easy.
Dude.
All I know is, like, we just talked about it on the Megacast. We went, when we go to Summer Meltdown, you know, we melt down like we do at Summer Meltdown. You get melty. And they have a beer garden. And to put it in perspective, Ted and I were there, middle of the day. Bob Marley's band, the Wailers, are playing in the beer garden.
Whoa.
We're hanging out, and both of us look at each other, and we're like, this is way too aggressive. We need to.
Like, we got
to
get out of here.
I can't hang out here. And we left the beer garden where the Wailers are playing the most happy reggae music.
You're like, I can't take this, dude.
And we went back to the RV and sat there and just listened to like some quiet music, like chill music. And we're like, yeah, that was way too aggressive.
See, like musically, Lollapalooza 92, it was kicking in, really kicking in. The first band kind of after the Sunset was Ministry, and they were on the Psalm 69 tour.
Oh,
and
they're touring.
They had an amazing stage, elaborate stage set up with these weird giant skeletons on either side of the stage, and the light show was incredible. And I was tripping balls. And honestly, I was like, well, this is amazing. You know, like it wasn't too aggressive or anything. It was just, and what was weird is, so this is at White River Amphitheater. During Ministry set, people were tearing up chunks of the lawn. Oh. Like, if you can imagine, like, a 3x3 patch of grass with dirt attached
it's
to
like
it.
Like Lollapalooza.
And they were, it was at Lollapalooza 92, and they were hucking them up in the air.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there watching Ministry, like, whoa. And then the guy beside me's like, poof, just taken out by this patch of lawn. And again, I'm like, whoa. And I just stood there, like, you know, man. I never got hit, but people around me were getting taken out.
Wow.
Like, taken off their feet.
That reminds me of an Endfest, the one that Korn headlined with Deftones right behind them.
That's a show.
Oh, dude, it was great. But in the middle, because Korn took a little bit of a while, so they had been selling Gatorade bottles, and so suddenly, there'd go a Gatorade bottle
just empty.
And yeah,
at least they're empty.
They've been tossing empties, but then my buddy got taken out by a half full one.
Oh yeah,
yeah, just across the face, cut open his eyebrow.
Oh,
so he runs over to the first aid place. They patch him up, and he runs right back, and he's like, "I'm staying." They're like, "Do you need any help?" He's like, "No, I gotta get back to the show.
I need morphine. Morphine.
Yeah, just
more
just
of morphine. More morphine
to me."
When I was there opening night for Faith No More, Guns N' Roses, and Metallica.
Wow. Damn.
RFK. It was the opening night of that legendary tour, and it was incredible. Faith No More was on Angel Dust. Of course, Guns N' Roses was on The Illusions, and Metallica was on the Black Album.
Oh, it was one of the directors on Angel
between,
Dust.
Between Guns and Metallica, Guns headlined that night. So between Metallica and Guns, there was a long break because Axl was doing his Axl thing.
And
what should have been a 20-minute changeover was like an hour and 20. And so people started losing their minds, and they were flattening those giant beer cups and throwing them up in the air. And so for a minute, there was so much of that going on that it actually looked like it was snowing. If you can imagine the scene. So that was kind of, and I wasn't
That's
on it.
Neat.
I was just on a little bit of alcohol. I wasn't on anything else. But we were on sort of one of the lower decks above the tiered decks. So I wasn't down on the ground. I was in one of those decks. And like forward of me by about 4 feet, this girl got hit on the shoulder. It took her off her feet. But someone had vomited into one of those giant cups.
Oh.
And then they dropped it off the upper balcony.
Oh.
And it hit her, took her out, and it hit her boyfriend. And dude, I'll never forget that. I just remember thinking, like, man, I'm glad that wasn't me, you know,
because
they were kind of like, you know, she wasn't happy.
Dude, that's like concert over. If that happens to me, I'm done. I'm like, I don't care who's playing. I'm tapping out.
They stayed, but I felt really bad for them because it was a sort of a puke grenade. I didn't even get spattered. I was really lucky because they were close.
Well, you know, many shows I would probably leave. I think I would stay for Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Faith No More.
Oh, no way, man.
Yeah, but at that point, they were staying for Guns' set.
Yeah.
Because Metallica had finished.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a killer. It was an amazing show.
Yeah, I don't think it was,
but you're all covered in puke.
I just get some water and pour it all over me.
We got a picture of someone like puking into that cup and being like, well, what am I going to do with this? And I bet it was like his buddy was like, give it to me, man.
You know? What am I going to do with this?
To the edge.
Here, let me help
and
you.
He probably aimed. He was probably aiming for me, but luckily the wind carried it like 4 feet to the right, you know?
While we were talking, I was just trying to think of like, what would be the artist for certain drugs?
Oh, okay.
So, like, obviously, we just talked about acid. So, if you're on LSD,
Yeah, I heard it that time, man.
Right?
Now I'm paying attention.
Oddly enough.
What would you listen to?
Tool.
Tool.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to suggest on headphones the Red Hot Chili Peppers album, One Hot Minute.
Ooh.
The unpopular album with
Dave
Navarro.
That is the only album by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So, only because there was a night that I was really stoned and I was driving out through West Virginia. And some of those, I think it was The Breakdown and One Big Mob came on.
Yeah.
And it's pure ear candy. And I thought I was going to crash and die. I was like, man, this rules, but it's just too much. Yeah, anything else I would say, any Radiohead album from OK Computer on headphones, bloop, bloop, on acid.
Dude, that's so funny because I was thinking of, I don't know if you remember Uncle. It was like a techno type artist, but he did a song with Tom York from Radiohead. This is before Radiohead got super weird. That, I think, would be the ultimate thing to listen to. I'm trying to find it on here, but I don't think I'm going to be able to find it.
I remember going back to shrooms. So are shrooms different than LSD? For this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, LSD is more focused. Shrooms are more loose.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I'm always fighting getting pukey with shroomies.
This is called Rabbit in Your Headlights. It's Uncle featuring Tom York from Radiohead.
Acid. I wonder what he's talking about. He's talking about dissolving bodies.
Scared of the spotlight. You don't come to visit.
Trying to find when that gets all heavy.
Man, like Lance.
And then you hold it on.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh! Regarding Tool, what was the Zimbalabim Balabim album? Was that, that was Anima. I was listening to that record on headphones on acid, and when that dude does the cake for Spanish wedding cookies, the recipe for Spanish wedding cookies in Germany.
Oh, it's German, yeah.
I had to take the headphones up and turn the light on.
The devil's eggs,
because I was like, whoa, dude, too much, because it was amazing. Like, I was really digging. I'm laying in bed, headphones on, lights off, tripping balls, listening to Tool, and he gets into that Zimbalabim. And I was like, no. I had to get up and turn on the lights, bro.
Yeah,
I had forgotten about that, man.
Dude, I remember many years ago when it wasn't Molly, it was Ecstasy. And it was Ted Smith and I ended up at my place. We were all messed up, right? And this is back in the Linwood days, so this is forever ago. And like, let's listen to Alice in Chains' Dirt, the record. Loving it. Until Sick Man came on.
Yeah.
We had to turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm like, no!
Where the hell am I?
Yeah, sick man. It's like, no more. And we turned it off and never listened to Alice in Chains again.
Ever again.
So that's something not to listen to when on ecstasy.
Yeah, wow.
All right, so we got LSD. Let's go mushrooms, Rev. Okay.
So shrooms, I remember sitting in my room. This is back up when I was up in Linwood living with Sean. And sitting in the room staring at the iTunes visualizer to the Carter 3. Lil Wayne on shrooms watching that. And that was like, I was like, I really like this album. This album's amazing. I don't know how many times I listened to it, but the same thing with you in the Super Unknown. It was a long time.
For a period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went back to listen to that album. I do not like that album.
This is terrible.
I'm like, what is he even talking about?
It's funny how music will alter, like drugs will alter
literally
what you think about certain music. Yeah. For me, I think, man, Alice in Chains Unplugged, to go to Alice in Chains again.
Ooh.
I'd probably go with something like that.
Yeah, it's a little less abrasive.
Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
When early on, when all the members of when this is still back in Maryland, all the members of Windowpane lived in a house together in Mount Savage. We had moved out of Cumberland because we were under police surveillance.
Oh yeah,
so yeah, I remember. Yeah,
we moved out of the city to this house in the sticks, and Mark, being Mark, goes to Rent-A-Center and rents like the biggest stereo you can find.
All right, yeah, that makes sense.
I want speakers that won't fit in my car, sir.
Cool.
And so the move was we'd all go into Mark's bedroom. Usually it was me, Mark, and Tony Reed.
Only $99 a month for the next 48.
Exactly. I think at some point he's like, just come get it. But we would shroom or dose, either one. And honestly, song remains the same, primarily for live No Quarter. Mm. And again, you turn off the lights and you just lay there and listen. But there is that kettle drum fill right in the middle of No Quarter, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then he hits the gong, and the front-of-house sound engineer throws a flange across that whole thing, and that's how it came off live.
Oh.
But if you're laying in the dark, that drum fill on acid was like, that was the moment, man. Like, you know, and from time to time, like, Tony Reid would be like, dude, rewind that, man. And Harris would be like, I'm already on it. I'm already on it, you know, because I'm laying there with my eyes shut.
Yeah, he's like,
you
know? I'm not going to move.
And you get
someone help me here.
Clack. Kick clack. Song Remains the Same.
Is that on
Song Remains the Same is the album. It's the one they did live at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
And then you want No Quarter, which honestly, that's some of Jimmy Page's best guitar playing.
There we go.
Ever. But I can't even really. The album version's fine, don't get me wrong, but I prefer not to listen to the album version because this version is so good. So if you fast forward a bit, kind of ascent. Oh, God.
Oh, nope.
You want to hear Jimmy Page play some guitar?
Cleansing his happy place. Clean up. I'll mix cast.
I didn't listen to this all day. I got goosebumps.
I know, yeah.
But if you rewind a little bit. Okay, it's before that. They're building into the solo there. Okay, go back some. It's so sick.
Now I'm going to listen to this on the way home.
Wait. Here it comes.
See that.
The spaciness to
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, if you have that crank, you're like, I just felt the touch of God.
Dude, that reminds me
it's
of...
so good.
So I got the wife...
One more time, hold on.
Okay, hold on. Taking off.
It's incredible, man.
That is so
and by
good.
That point, man, because, you know, JPJ isn't playing bass. All the bass lines are done just on the electric piano or Rhodes. That might be a Wurlitzer. I'm not 100% sure. It's either a Rhodes or a Whirly. But the way those low tones are through the whole song are just so warm and huge. And, oh, God, dude.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Zeppelin fan, kind of for me, the record to listen to is Song Remains the Same.
Yeah.
All their album stuff's incredible, but Song Remains the Same is sort of the beginning and the end. And then go listen to all the other stuff because
it's
incredible.
Kiss Alive.
Right.
What are you going to say, right?
I was just going to say that I got the wife a record player because she wanted one for Christmas, and because she has a whole bunch of just random albums. She has the Steve Miller Band, and listening to that is a trip.
Yeah.
Like just on vinyl. Like I was like, this is really amazing.
Yeah, this is actually good. Yeah,
when it like fills the room, and it's like there's been a couple times where I've just been like, wow, wow. And I never experienced that before, but it's that same thing. You'll have some of those every once in a while. You'll have just kind of like a trippy moment,
and you're where like,
kind of just kind of goes off like,
dude.
That.
Well, and what's cool, like what we just heard there, like literally, that's all the way it was done live. So the front of house guy probably had a flanger of some kind plugged into a patch on the console.
Damn.
And was like, I'm going to throw this in.
F it.
And then John just goes for the kettle drum and hits the gong. And that's what everyone in that audience heard come through the mains.
Just blown away.
And it's like, dude, like, honestly, if you've ever seen them, the old school tape echoes where it has a spool of tape. They used to make one for front of house sound engineers. Maestro made them. That's like a 6 or 8 channel tape echo. And it's to be plugged into your front of house desk so that if you want delay on an artist's vocal, you turn up the tape echo.
Yeah.
And so if you listen to the show, there's tons of delays, like Plant plays with the delays.
Oh, yeah.
And they do all this call and response stuff. That is more than likely an actual tape echo at the front of house mix position.
So makes it even cooler.
So that's the kind of stuff I really geek out about, man. Cause
you
know, like, as an artist that I remember when I was living in Queen Anne and we were doing a lot of stupid stuff and getting like, you know, hallucinogenics or whatever that I would listen to. and I never was a fan of it before because I only knew them as the band that played the song that the Chicago Bulls would come out to, Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had a record called Stereo.
Good luck with Operation Bananarama.
Yeah, it was a 1988 record. This was the album I would listen to all the time when I was like in a different world.
Are you sure this isn't Radiohead?
The drugs were good.
I guess.
I haven't listened to this since I was high. This is so weird.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm...
This is drug music, dude.
Right?
Done by, done for. Oh, wow. That is this so sounds, 80s.
It's like...
so 80s.
I can just picture like Michael Mike sneaking through a warehouse. Are you out there?
It's like a pop 80s band that took drugs.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Still use the pop 80 instruments.
Uh-huh.
Some guy just tripping balls, rocking a guitar tough. Unsure of where he is.
Guitar murderer.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting guitar-ed.
I can see why you would love this while you're on drugs.
Oh my gosh, I listen to this all the time. I bet my neighbors hated me.
He's on drugs.
Yep.
He's on those drugs again.
Our apartment manager's high again.
This is one of
those... you can't even complain to anyone.
No, don't call me.
Like, demographically, this is extraordinarily white.
I bet it's the whitest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you were, like, in a police lineup, pick the three members of this band.
I love how we went from mid-60s to mid-70s R&B and soul to that.
Right.
Like, we've really gone the range. This is the gamut.
Acid.
Well, of course, this was their big, big hit.
Alan Parsons Project had a hit?
I mean, because of the Chicago Bulls.
You mean did a hit?
I don't know anything about
the Chicago Bulls.
Their basketball team.
Do you remember
Michael Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Scottie
Pippen. That's right, Jordan played.
Whenever
for the
they
Bulls.
Would introduce the team,
isn't
this song
where
would
you
play.
Turn the Bulls logo upside down? It looks like an alien having sex with a woman.
Oh, I think you're right.
Have you ever turned the bull head upside down? That's all I really know about them. I guess congrats to Michael Jordan and all.
And by the way, the Alan Parsons Project are two very white guys.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
They're white as F.
Old Pop Stroman on the keyboard there.
They probably had some good acid.
I had to Google it just to make sure on that one.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they both look like Michael McDonald.
Wow.
Michael McDonald's like, hey, that's my look.
The guy in the front almost looks like George Michael, too.
Yeah, almost. Well, he's rocking the Maverick shave, so he's like a tougher.
Mm-hmm.
A tougher. You know, he's not going to take anyone. Wait, he's not going to wake anyone up before he goes.
At least they don't bother us with any lyrics.
Right?
Well put. Don't bother me with lyrics, man.
All right. Why don't we do some voicemails, some emails, and some text messages?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, this is 80s TV series. There you go. Nice.
Speaking of the 80s.
Stories, jokes, and hijinks. Yep.
Hijinks. We put the high in hijinks.
There we go.
What are you saying?
Like, with this, I can picture Steve in a trench coat.
What?
Like, you know, and for some reason, it's always foggy in an alley in a city. I don't know why. I've been in lots of them, and there's no fog.
Yeah.
But that Steve's, like, sneaking up to the door and stuff, like, quietly. It's total 80s TV show. The show that comes on at 10:30 that should have been canceled 3 seasons ago, but they're limping it along.
NYPD.
You know, the cast from Airwolf's now doing cameos, because What's-His-Nut was so drunk they had to cancel that show.
You just brought up
Airwolf.
But
Jan Michael Vincent's, like, in this episode as the grumbler. Migs, where's Sarah being healed? You were fired from Airwolf.
I know you know where he is.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I can read your mind. Is this Eye in the Sky?
This is them.
I know this song.
Oh, no, there's the lyrics.
Don't try turning tables instead.
Is this late 70s? We weren't to the 80s yet.
82. No, wait, 79.
Thank you, because I remember being chastised in elementary school. I was in big trouble. They kept me after. And during the ride home, the song played, and I was in big trouble. And I remember that. Thanks, educational system, for these childhood scars. What, did I not draw the tree right? I was like in second grade.
This song sucks.
Sorry. I'm going to say it. That song is crap.
Ref just throws it down. I am high in the sky. That's what I thought as a kid, too.
And I have no trauma. It's just the song I hate.
I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools.
No drugs will make this better.
I can see you.
Whatever, Carter 3.
And I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read.
Oh, God, it's
your
going.
I can read your mind.
I think this is what they mean when they say soft rock. Soft. You have to soft.
Yeah,
you can't say
like,
soft rock.
Yeah, it's talcum powder
soft
there.
Soft rock.
Now I'm curious. I'm like, well, what did they ever evolve to? Because they put out an album in 2013.
Oh, no.
Called Please Make It Stop.
We're not dead yet. Oh, it's a remake of one of their older records. Never mind.
Right. They just remastered.
I was about to say, man.
I was kind of curious
lacked
how
the spiritual energy to recapture
of
that vibe.
Remasters. I go down the wormhole on Apple Music, and I listen to the remaster of Silverchair's Frog Stomp.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a pretty happening record.
It's
for
really
a bunch
good.
Of teenagers, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I realize that I still have all of the lyrics for the entire album
like some
memorized.
Some of those songs were like, guys, that was a swing and a miss. Like, I always kind of thought Pure Massacre was a bit of a swing and a miss.
I thought it was great just because it was, I mean, it was just an instrumental.
Yeah.
And just a screaming at the end, so that was kind of fun.
You know, like... But some of those songs are actually really well-crafted songs with super strong hooks.
My favorite's the first song.
I know there were 16 in all, but dude.
Oh, yeah. Israel's Son.
Dude, that bass
Israel's
line.
Son, yeah.
That is so good.
So grunge.
I think it was these kids, and they were all like 15 and 16, yeah. I think, but they won some radio contest in Australia.
I think you're right.
And it got their demo played, and someone was like, this is good, and went and signed them, and it's like, you just signed a bunch of 16-year-olds? He's like, man, this is good, and it like blew up.
I remember seeing them at the Mercer Arena, like in, like 97 or 98, maybe.
I was there.
You guys heard... Any of their later days stuff, like what they became?
Yeah.
There's a song called, I think it's Walking in Straight Lines, and it's an amazing song. My buddy Jeremy Postma was a big Silverchair fan, and I'm like, huh? And he's like, no, dude, the newer records. And I'm like, what newer records? He's like, they're still huge in Australia, but they don't tour much. I guess singer guy got kind of like, this is a weird life.
And yeah,
he was like, this is too much. And he kind of stepped back from the spotlight. But the newer stuff is really, really brilliant.
Kind of fine Walking Straight Lines
is an amazing song.
I'll look for it.
And I remember Jeremy playing me that. I was like, this is Silverchair? He's like, yeah, dude. Like, they grew up.
I like this song.
Oh, Straight Lines, yeah. What's up with their Young
amazing.
Modern record on it, 2007.
It's hard to believe it's the same band, but this song's really good.
Dude, the guy was a good, I mean, he wrote good songs.
Talented guy.
Yeah.
Breathing from a hole in my lung, I had no one, but faces in front of me, racing through the void in my head, to find traces of a good luck academy.
Yeah, the chorus is great. Like the chord, his changes, his writing, it's really on point.
The thought about no one and nothing in particular. Watch the sick and socket and drove. Resent nothing.
I wouldn't be opposed to a Silverchair reunion.
Yeah, no.
Didn't we record out?
Hell, I saw Sponge Live like last year.
How are those boys?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
That's pretty sharp, dude.
Lately I'm a desperate believer. But
It's great, man.
I also like this one, from Neon Ballroom. You remember the anthem for the year 2000?
Yes. Which was 20 years ago.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
This album is 21 years old.
Explains why everything hurts. Like Steve's tongue.
Like my tongue.
His 20-year-old tongue functioned much better than his current tongue.
Take your fascism away. We are the youth. Apologize for another day.
I don't remember this song.
I do, yeah.
I don't remember it. I'm waiting for the chorus to remind me. But I remember this was like a minor hit.
Yeah. We are knocking on death's door.
Never knew we were living in a world with a yeah, I remember this part. That's funny. This is so like 90s, 2000s all
rock. Oh, yeah. This is when I got into the weird music beyond this, so.
Here comes the chorus.
Yeah. We'll make it up to you in the year
2000 with. I should tweet at them and be like, look, you guys never made it up to me, and it's 20 years since
you know. Yeah, man, I'm still waiting.
Yeah, when are you going to make it up to me?
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm still waiting.
Remember when we had hope for the year 2000?
Yeah, in the year 2000.
All right, let's check out a voicemail. 253-271-47.
I love that everyone got the Conan O'Brien reference just now. I love you guys, man.
I don't have any kids, so maybe I don't get it.
Hmm.
But people who all you can talk about are your stupid kids' accomplishments. Especially, okay.
Did I tell you about how Tatum took a poop yesterday?
Oh, dude, really?
It was so awesome.
What was the texture like?
It was very liquidy.
Oh, sorry about that.
Wow.
You want to shoot for kind of a solid chalky, I think.
We're working towards that.
Wow.
Babies, give me a break. Oh, hey, my baby said a whole word. Said one word.
Steve.
Woohoo!
Has your baby said a word yet?
Yeah, she said, F this caller.
Fantastic. You know what? I know all the words to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. Until your baby can do something, at least somewhat impressive, I don't want to see the statuses on Facebook. I don't want to see the pictures.
Oh, dude, Steve.
I don't care.
It's like a personal attack.
I feel targeted.
Yeah.
I want to quote targeted. Bill Hicks, who said, you're not a person until you're in my phone book.
Dude. All right, now I got a goal. I want my baby to be able to recite the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Also, I want to throw out to any of our male listeners who are single, she's the one to date if you don't want kids. You can go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And
right?
if she's like, I think I'm pregnant, and then you ask the gentlemanly question, it's like, well, what do you want to do? She's going to be like, what do you think I want to do?
I think I'm paranoid.
Yeah.
Listen to what Tatum did earlier today. It's pretty cool. Guess what she's doing? Ready?
Oh, she's breathing, dude.
No, she's not breathing.
I have trouble doing that.
She's pushing.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Snoring.
Nope.
Tell me there's not a breast in her mouth, dude.
Yes.
That's just getting weird. Don't play that on here, man.
Made it
We're
weird.
We're friends. You don't need to go
you
there.
Made
dude.
It weird, Steve.
She's eating.
Yeah, eating what? Booby milk.
Yeah. Do I dare make it weirder?
Sid, how you doing, hon?
Well, we've already brought it up, I guess. So yeah, Steve, it's been a week, so you haven't tried it yet?
No! She brought it up, and I just...
He'll play another clip, and it's him going...
Guess who this is?
And I'll be like, dude, I need
it's
to leave
not
the
a baby.
Studio.
Yeah, hey, guys, you want to hear something cool? I did this yesterday. This is me.
Wow,
no,
Steve, you sound so young.
Sid brought it up, and I just casually glossed over that. I was like, I'm not doing it.
Oh, she was like, Steve, would you like to try some milk?
She's like, at some point, you got to try it.
Am Mother's I milk.
At I'm some like, point, you have. Oh, yeah. She's already put it in her mind that's going to happen.
No,
there's going to be at some point where she's fed up with you, and she's going to be chasing you around
Dude,
the house.
She'll make some awesome pasta dish, and Steve will be like, yeah, this is really delicious. I've been trying to get away from the carbs, but this is magnificent. And the sauce is so creamy, and she'll be like, yeah, I used breast milk in the sauce. And I'm just picturing that
Stop
dinner.
Stop eating Alfredo, Steve.
It's like War of the Roses when he's like, it depends on what the pate is made of.
Wow.
Wow. Classic film.
By the way, the dog was fine. Everyone below 30 is like, what's he talking about?
Watch War of the Roses.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It really holds up. It's amazing.
Michael Douglas? That's
Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner before Kathleen Turner became a nice middle-aged man, and Danny DeVito. That's when Kathleen Turner was still pretty smoking, dude.
Wow. See, I was thinking of Death Becomes Her for some reason.
Oh, that's a good time, too.
Which is good. Yeah,
but no, War of the Roses is Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner meet. They're broke. They're impoverished. They're married. They fall in love, and then they go on to be very successful and wealthy. And to say that they get a divorce, putting it, they try to
mildly,
kill.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it gets ugly in a way you can't even begin to describe it. It's hilarious. It's brilliant. Have you ever seen War of the Roses?
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Dude, go ahead and check it out. I swear. I haven't seen it in a while, but I know the film holds up. It's genius. That movie's genius, dude.
I want to thank Martin. He messaged us after last week's cast saying, dude, listening to the Migs cast, the drummer for the Queen cover band is the drummer and singer from Herding Cats. They play in Kirkland, Emerald Downs occasionally. They're a 70s to 90s cover band. I've seen them before. They're awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
They were the band that was hooked up with Craig Terrell from the Seahawks for a little while.
That's right. Okay, I was like wondering where I remembered
he's
that
name. He's a great drummer, so it makes sense that he's in the Queen, Epic Queen.
That's Lance's drummer. That's the guy that sits on a bar stool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Lance has said that he's phenomenal.
He's really good. Yeah. Now that I know who you're talking about, he's a phenomenal drummer.
There it is.
Someone said, hey, Steve, I just want to say about between the Mixcast and the Megacast is a text. Gave me goosebumps 5 times. You made me cry twice. You're a great dad and husband. It's awesome that Lulu loves Tatum, and I'm sure that Sid is an awesome mom and wife. Congrats. That's she's all right. It's debatable. But I'm a great father.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know,
local father, Steve Mix.
Thank you. Father of the year.
Local father. Verified father. Verified Steve Mix.
Got the blue check in fatherhood.
See, now you're going to get all the presents and all that stuff for Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
World's like all greatest dad.
Yeah. A tie.
Nice. I want some more socks. A
keyboard tie, the piano keys tie. Yeah.
As long as it plays.
Yeah, happy Father's Day,
dude,
Steve.
That'd be cool.
Like, this is sweet, guys.
So dumb.
He's already upset about the gift he's hypothetically received.
Right.
I love Steve.
I'm like, wow, this size is cool. I'm like, don't touch it, Dad. I'm like, okay.
He's already making fun of it. We haven't even bought it for him yet.
Oh, look, what am I going to do with this?
You play it, Dad.
Play a Blade Runner and choke him with it, you know? Remember when Zur grabs Harrison Ford by the tie and tries to choke him out? That's what you hear.
Wow.
How do I get out of this hat?
You don't.
He can't, yeah. We have other texts.
It's the Hotel California
mails, but,
of apps, dude.
Steve can't get out there. Yeah, you can never leave, buddy.
All right, check out this next voicemail. This is great.
I am a server at a local restaurant, and I cannot tell you.
She kind of sounds cute. She sounds
I cannot tell you.
She does.
She sounds hot.
Right?
I haven't said that in a long time.
How much I despise Diet Coke drinkers. I mean, how many refills does one person need? It is ridiculous.
There was this Target Steve day, baby talk, and I love Diet Coke.
You like aspartame? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he's got them sores on his tongue.
No, well, it's Feast of the Ass Day. Of course I love aspartame.
That's about loving your kookaburra, dude.
Yes. Okay. They come in at like noon and they order their Diet Coke. And I can tell you, as soon as they order the Diet Coke, I'm like, I'm going to have to refill that stupid cup 5 times in the next 30 minutes. And
have to
without
work.
Fail, it's at least 3 times. And if they're there for 45 minutes, bitch. It's at least 6 times. I think Diet Coke is like a plot. I think it's like a plot because people are addicted to it. Mm-hmm. They have to start their day with it. Mm-hmm. They have to keep going. And I'm telling you, I think it's for Chinese. I mean, I don't want to sound mean or anything.
Hey, did she say I think it's the Chinese?
Yeah, she thinks it's a plot. This is a thing.
What is going on?
She's going
I think she's
down.
On regular Coke, and I'm not talking about the drink right here.
She's going down the conspiracy rabbit hole, and I'm following her all the way.
I can tell.
Keep talking,
like,
huh?
They have all our debt, and I think they're trying to get us hooked on Diet Coke, and then they're just going to come take over us. That's got to be it, right? That's what drives me crazy.
Wait, it's the right girl!
It is her!
Yeah! You still sound hot, right, girl?
I said in the beginning, I'm like, right? It's her!
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Welcome back.
Right, girl. I missed you, right, girl.
They're trying to get us hooked on Diet Coke, and then they're just going to come take over us. That's got to be it, right?
Yeah, that's her!
We missed you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah. But,
and
go
just because
yourself.
I love the way you say right. And I sometimes when I hear her doing that the rant thing, I can picture her flipping her hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys with me on that?
Yeah, she's very blonde.
But here's what I would do. Well, maybe not, but either way, there's a hair flip involved, maybe. She'd be like, no, I wear my hair like Sinead O'Connor. I don't appreciate you assuming things about me, right?
She's got the Karen hairstyle.
But,
poor Karen.
Here's my suggestion, right, girl?
Right, girl.
When they order a diet... Hush.
I can't.
When they order a Diet Coke, surely, so you're like at a restaurant, get a pitcher, man. So fill the pitcher, put a little bit of ice.
Oh, you don't even take a picture.
Fill the pitcher. I need you to look at the camera.
Proof.
Conspiracy, sir.
Yeah.
But, come take over. That's got to be it.
The right. Guy's got a copy of Catcher in the Rye right there on the table. I'd like a Diet Coke. She's like, I knew it. But take them, fill their drink, and then take them a pitcher of Diet Coke, and then you don't have to go back to the table, except when you bring their food and swing by again to be like, is everything all right?
Right.
And they'll have, just bring them a pitcher, and then you don't have to make the multiple trips.
At Trapper's yesterday, I had 2 Diet Cokes. I don't think that's bad.
I had 3.
Oh, you're that person.
I am.
Diet Coke with sushi.
I knew it. You're Chinese.
Yeah. Why not? Diet Coke with everything.
I don't dig Diet Coke, man.
All right. Then.
Well, then of course it won't be good with
honestly,
anything.
Honestly, what I dig with sushi really is water. Just give me a glass of water so I can
would have
hang
been
on
fine
to the
with
taste
water
of the
as
sushi,
well.
Man.
I usually
I like a little saltiness and... And sugar.
We were talking about sushi, and I went, like, we had sushi yesterday, but I also had sushi on Friday because I was eating.
You're an American.
Yeah, I was eating solo and doing what I want.
Dude.
So I got the conveyor belt sushi and just sitting there. And,
that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
You see it coming 4 feet away, you're like, that one's mine.
Until someone takes it ahead of you.
Dude, But I was just drinking green tea, like hot green tea.
My man, that works.
And that's one of those things. It'll either be Diet Coke or green tea.
I haven't been to Conveyor Belt Sushi in a while, and it was...
Love it!
I used to, too. Well, I do still, but there was a place down in South Center Mall I used to go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I had to take a leak. So I got up, and I went into the bathroom, and there on the... So it's like sink, urinal, and then stall for toilet.
All right.
So you have your... You can option A, option B, and then wash afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But on the sink, on the surface of the sink, like to the left of the hot knob, right?
Yeah.
Was a plunger.
All right.
And the plunger had little chunkettes of, dried, moistened toilet paper on it.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say sushi.
There was no poo on it, but you could tell it had been used in a toilet because there was little hunks of toilet paper on the plunger, which was right next to the area where you wash your hands.
Yeah.
And I saw that and was like, man.
Something like that will just ruin
it. And I have never been back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was really like...
Well, there's plenty of other places that don't do that.
I'm sure
you
it's all...
get your conveyor belt sushi somewhere.
I'm sure it's all good. Like, and I just... The placement of the plunger there.
Yeah.
I'm like, if this is your hygiene standard...
Yeah.
You know, is some dude out there digging his balloon knot and then preparing my fish? Like, I don't want...
Just don't get the balloon knot roll.
Coming back, man. And I've never been back, dude. Yeah, is Jelly Fingers here today? I want some sushi. You buy a Captain Stinkfinger there?
I used to judge the different Thai places that I would go in Seattle. There was the one that would deliver that I never saw the inside of the place, but they delivered, so they were awesome.
Maybe that's best.
There was the one place that I'd only do takeout because they had like a 12-year-old, like their 12-year-old son, a bussing tables. And I'm like, I don't want to use those.
Child, is it a child labor thing? Or?
No, it was because I know what a 12-year-old boy does all of the time. And I don't want him handling my silverware.
Oh, you picture him going to the bathroom every half hour.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
didn't even
that was
do the
me.
Math on that.
That was me. So I just know that it's going to happen.
I got to poop. We were in there for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm in a great mood now.
Yeah. So I would always just get takeout from there.
Because you were worried a yogurt thrower was handling your silverware.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Every 12-year-old boy does that all the time.
So really, it was the child's masturbatory habits that put you off the place.
And it didn't put me off the place. Just
takeout only.
You take out only.
I would
never dine in. And then we had one place that was the dine-in place. So depending on my levels of laziness, we could go to different places.
I would like my silverware and plate brought to me by an adult, please.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Because little Timmy with the giant forearm is wigging me out.
3 Diet Cokes, please.
The hairy palms. I don't want that guy. Plus, it looks like he can't even see.
Yeah, right.
Let's do one more voicemail before we run out.
You know what really ticks me off?
Oh,
wow.
See, I'm finally getting to a lot of these are from like weeks ago.
Okay, it's like the angry
voicemails.
When
shows don't get to their voicemails.
Go to local establishments that sell wings, and you order like 10 wings. And they come back and they give you like 2 wings and 8 drumsticks. It's like, did I order 8 drumsticks? No, I ordered 10 wings.
Really?
Give me the 10 wings.
Really? That's what you're going to die on, right there, buddy.
Usually the drumsticks have more meat on them.
And they're easier to eat.
Than the little two-bone guy. Yeah, I'm not against the two-bone guy, but if it was all drumsticks, I'd feel like I hit the lottery because they have more meat on them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the big debate? It's like wings or drummies.
Drummies. Yeah.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like wings, to be honest.
See, I
hate fingering the wings and getting my finger through the hole there.
If I order 10 wings,
work, man.
I want 10 wing. I don't want 8 wing and 2 nubs. Like, because sometimes you get the nub, mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's not a fully developed wing. That's a premature wing. That's a goddamn nub. You don't try and pass that off as a wing, man. It's only the size of an ice cube. You know?
See, I just, you know what?
That bothers me.
I don't even do bone-in anymore. I always go with the chicken nuggies, basically, at this point. Like,
really?
Yeah, I'll go boneless. I don't care because I'm happier that way. I don't want to deal with the bone, and I'll just eat them, like, just pop them on my mouth.
Tawny and I will do wing night. We hadn't done it in a while, but I make a badass sauce. I use, like, minced garlic, and I got this whole thing. My mouth's watering like crazy, but I make it.
Mine is too, it's because I can't speak.
Wicked wing sauce. But my move, if we don't want to deal with deep frying the wing at home, is there's a little Caesars right up the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll call and be like, you know, give me 4 orders of buffalo wings, which I think that was last time we did it. That was supposed to be. I did the math. I think it was 34 wing.
Okay. Okay,
then I bring their wing back and I throw them in my sauce and toss them in the sauce. And then we have this ultimate wing feast.
Solid.
But Tawny and I mowed down and I guarantee they shorted us some wing. Because I think he said there was 12 wings per order.
Yeah.
Something was wrong. Because I looked at her bone pile, my bone pile, and I'm like, we've been shorted. And there were a couple nubs in there, too. I'm like, don't try and pass that off as a wing, dude.
Oh, they will.
It's like buying a pair of shoes and only getting like 1 shoe and then some laces. It's like, man, don't. You know, just don't.
Just don't. So call them. Like, you know, I'm counting my bones.
Should have left a voicemail.
No, I was like, at that point, I was like, I'm full. I'm satiated. There's no need to get into a thing over this. But yeah, dude, it surprises me that guy would rather have.
I like them both, honestly.
It's all good.
I wouldn't mind 5 and 5.
I think there's more meat on the drumsticks.
Yeah, I agree.
And when I see them, it's not like I'm not going to like push them away. Like, I'm still going to eat them. I just prefer boneless.
Well, there's a wing because you rip them open.
Yeah, yeah, with the ones you rip apart, you grab that one, and if you wiggle the bone loose, you can pull that bone free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the whole thing in your mouth and gently suck, ha-ha, and it pulls all the meat right off, man.
I'm so bad at that.
It's happening.
That's part of the reason why I don't like that. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Well, dude, all we can do is train. So we can get together and we work the problem.
We need to have a chicken wing eating party.
I know, dude.
We should get like a
Remember strings
party.
And wings?
Yeah, we should still do that.
The last time I went to a B-Dubs with you guys, it was doing the 7-alarm challenge or whatever the hell it was.
That noise. Let's just go and enjoy wings.
Can we just eat wings?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to do that anymore. My butt hurt. And then also, I didn't finish them. So
One more text. Guys, it's in all caps. So I'm going to read it out. Guys, when is there going to be another Bruiser Brody show? I need my fix. And it's Tristan, your new lead singer. If so, that's super cool. Talk about passing the torch. Sorry, caps locks were on, and I'm too lazy to type this again.
Steve, did you send that email?
I know, I do that all the time to Rev.
Well, Bruiser Brody has officially booked.
We're back.
Our first show.
Oh, snap.
Of 2020. Now, you can wait a while because it's not until May.
Yeah, we might have another show before that, you never know.
We might.
But right now, we're for sure playing in May.
Yep, May 30th at the Lo-Fi with Suction, Los Esteller, and Twasmanot.
Mm-hmm.
Twasmanot.
Yeah, that's Keith Wright from Point One's new band.
Cool.
And he sent me, dude, he sent me their stuff because it's not out yet. He sent me, he was like, dude, and he sent me, I think he intended to send me 1 track and he sent me 4. And it's really cool. Really well written. Just, it's rocking, man. Like, I'm anxious for them to, I think they're going to, I don't know if they're going to do an EP or an album. I think they're still tracking in doses, but it is really good stuff. The band Twasmanot. I'm highly recommending. And it's an amazing name, too. My phone somehow memorized, when I type out Twasmanot, it does a capital T at each end and everything. My phone somehow memorized Twasmanot. Is it a real word?
No. How many times have you typed that thing?
Just in text exchanges.
Wow.
But it knows now, Twasmanot.
Man, that's technology.
I can't figure out my wife's name, but it knows Twasmanot.
That is weird.
I know.
Since we're talking about bands, I just want to give a quick shout out to our boy, Brent Omaker. Just he's got a new band called Brent Amaker Death Squad with Darcy Carlson and a few other people. They just put out a new music video, and the first song.
The video is crazy.
It's a trip.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I got a little motion sick watching it.
Yeah, he makes weird videos in a good way.
Yeah.
The song is really cool, too.
Kind of makes you want to go buy a yellow tracksuit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm glad you're here.
I've had Brent on the podcast a few times.
Yep.
It's so nice to have your company. Hello.
This a couple times.
That's so good.
The video's a trip, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
Since I seen you, I thought that you were gone. If you ever want to come around again, there's no need to ask. Just drop on in. There.
Freaking awesome, man. Check it out. Just type in Brent Amaker, Death Squad. You'll be able to find the
video. That video. The video is a really good time.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting because you make an assumption about what it is you're in for. Like, oh, okay, they're going to be standing there playing the song in these tracksuits. And then the camera will like pan left and you're like, whoa.
What the hell's going on?
Okay, I didn't see this coming. And so the whole video does that, where you're like, okay, I totally get what I'm. Yeah,
it's unnerving.
It's great, man. It's great.
He is so good. Like, one of my favorite albums of all time was six years ago. Android Amaker. And just being able to see, like, he did one live show with them, and that was it. And I was so happy that I was able to go to that.
Still one of my favorite things ever was, I don't know if I still have the text message on here. It's probably gone, but I should see just super quick. Yeah, unfortunately, it got deleted over time. But Android Amaker came out. I was all going back to mushrooms. Hopped up on mushrooms at my house, right?
Bringing it back.
Just listening to it. I put that on vinyl.
Oh.
It's like 4 in the morning.
You have that on vinyl?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I text him at 4 in the morning.
Dude, currently tripping balls.
All right. Brent, I'm currently on mushrooms, and I get it. And then I wrote...
That's a print and frame worthy text.
Yeah,
and I would print that and frame it, man.
And I continue right, like, I'm listening to Android Amaker, and I get you. Love you. Something like that. And he texted me back the next day, and I forgot I even sent that text. And he's like, "This is the greatest text I've ever received to review this record." He's like, "Thank you so much. It means the world to me that while you're in that state of mind, you decided to listen to my music."
Yeah,
ones and zeros.
Right? I'm telling you.
So good. All right, Alec, what's going on in your world there, Glenn, before we get out of here?
This Friday, actually, I'm going to be doing an acoustic set with my man, Lance McKay.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we did that, the last time was the first time we'd ever done it. We did it at Slim's, and we do a bunch of really cool off-the-wall stuff. So, but that is going to be down at Club Sur with the guys in Twasmonaut, our boy Wyatt, Crossing Crusades, Half a Shadow, and Disciples of Descent. And it's Nicole Moodoo's birthday bash, if anyone's ever, you know, part of the... whole Studio 7 scene that was a thing for the longest time. That's Tracy and Nicole Moody. We love them. They're family. And so this Friday, you can catch all of that down at Club Sur. I'll be doing an unplugged set, probably starting off the night. Then next Friday is the big show at the High Dive. So that'll be my band, 10 Miles Wide, Ocean's Fade, and Eve Clark.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to that one. And then, right on the heels of that show, got a couple big announcements that'll be happening regarding March and coming into summer. So I'll be letting cats out of bags directly following the January 24th show at the High Dive. So, yeah,
nice.
That's what's up.
Nice. Good to hear, Rev.
Grit City Podcast. Go listen to it. We talked this week with Jose Cervantes, who is boxing at the Battle of the Boat 125 this weekend.
Nice.
Or Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, I'll be there hanging out, watching the fights. This is pretty amazing.
Hallucinating.
Yes.
No, baby. Oh, I wouldn't want to watch boxing under it.
No. I think he's dead. The fight hasn't even started.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He's taping his hands up.
Help! I need an adult.
This Sunday, you see your boy, the local celebrity, Steve Miggs, in Everett at Without a Cause Wrestling.
Nice.
Unfortunately, Baby Tatum will not be there because her mom won't allow it. I don't know what I'm going to be doing there. I might not be wrestling. I might be yelling at people. Who knows?
You'll probably be yelling at people.
All right.
Oh, dude, you should spit breast milk at people as they're giving you the bird.
Oh, no. Get
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You go home.
Yeah.
You go. Yuck.
Bring a poncho. Because it's going to get awkward. That's in Everett at the VFW Hall. It starts at 4 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some great wrestling will be going down. I always look forward to being there in Everett for Without a Cause Wrestling. So hopefully I'll see you there. Other than that, have a great week. I think we're back next week. Yeah.
Yeah. We're back on Tuesday.
Hopefully my tongue feels better. Until then, stay positive.